I grew up in a non-Christian family, but by God's grace, a man named Bruce shared the gospel with me my junior year of high school. And the Holy Spirit convicted me, showed me my need for Jesus and my need for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I became a Christian. I became a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple, and my whole life changed. I began attending church regularly at Bruce's church, which was called North Avenue Alliance Church. It was a congregation that was part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance denomination, or CNMA for short. I was at North Ave Alliance much of the week. They had Sunday morning Sunday school and Sunday morning worship service and Wednesday night youth group and Sunday night youth group, and I was at all of them totally voluntarily. I didn't come from a Christian family, so I made it a priority to be there myself. And I began to learn what the Bible taught. Growing up in New England, I didn't grow up with Bible teaching by default in the culture. I began to learn what the Bible taught. I began to memorize scripture. I began the lifelong habit of reading God's word for myself. And I began to quickly grow in my Christian faith, a spiritual growth spurt, if you will. And then by God's grace and leading, I ended up going to a non-denominational Christian college, Wheaton College. And around that transition of getting ready to go to the college, I began to sense God's call for me into ministry. And so I majored in biblical and theological studies. During college, during the summer after my junior year, I did a ministry internship in my home church, North Avenue Alliance. And by senior year of college, I began looking for pastoral opportunities and considered a number of denominations, but decided to pursue ministry within the Christian and Missionary Alliance denomination. It wasn't the only good denomination out there, but it had a few things going for it that I really respected. First, they had biblically faithful stances on all the essential doctrines of the Christian faith. Second, they were focused on Jesus and on Christians living in relationship with the Lord. And third, missions is really at the core of who the Christian Missionary Alliance denomination is. So I pursued and received accreditation, then licensing, and was eventually ordained as a reverend in the Christian Missionary Alliance. I served in a CNMA church in Minnesota initially as a youth pastor, then moved to West Central Wisconsin where I served as a senior pastor for about 10 years. And then finally, 8 years ago, I recognized God's call to come to Green Bay and to serve in a third CNMA church, this church. Faith Chapel is what we normally call ourselves, but technically we are Faith Chapel of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. In late high schools, I read about missionaries within the CNMA. In my 20 plus years now of pastoring, I've hosted CNMA missionaries in my home. I've prayed for them. I have financially supported them. I've encouraged the churches I've served to financially support them. I've built friendships with some of them, and I've even traveled abroad to connect with some of them in the places where they serve. Here in the U.S., in the CNMA, I've been on countless committees at annual district conferences. I've led regional pastor network groups within the district for about 15 years. And for the past 7 or so years, I've been privileged to serve on the district council that evaluates and mentors younger pastors. My love for and history with the CNMA runs deep. And so I stand before you this morning with sadness to say, I believe it's time for us to leave the Christian Missionary Alliance denomination. The elders have been in extended conversation, study, and prayer on this topic for the past 15 months, and the elders concur. It's time for Faith Chapel to leave the Christian and Missionary Alliance denomination. This congregation has a 90-year history with CNMA. Many of you have 15, 20, or more years within the CNMA. And leaving the denomination is not a recommendation that the elders came to lightly. So why do I say it's time to leave? Why do the elders say that? Because the denomination has made choices that are functionally a denial of the authority and knowability of God's word. Say that again. The denomination has made choices that are functionally a denial of the authority and knowability of God's word. By functional denial, of the authority and knowability of God's word. I mean that we say that God's word is our authority, and we say that God's word is knowable, but when the Bible gets in the way of what we want as a denomination, we ignore it or say it's too hard to understand. The Bible presents God as creator. From cover to cover, God's word reveals the goodness of God in creating humanity, male and female. Both genders created in the image of God, both created for the glory of God, both equally and identically redeemed through Jesus Christ for eternity with God and relationship with God. Men and women are equally valuable to God and equally valuable in God's kingdom. God calls all Christians, men and women, into lives of holiness and ministry. The church will not be and cannot be what God intends apart from the full participation of both genders in the life and ministry of the church. Equally clear in God's word is that God has designed men and women to be complementary to one another and to have complementary roles within marriage and within the church. Complementary roles that model the beautiful, loving relationship between Christ and his people, the church. Within marriage, husbands are entrusted with a particular responsibility for loving, self-sacrificial servant leadership. Each wife is entrusted with a particular responsibility to follow and support her husband's leadership. Within the church, qualified men are entrusted with a particular leadership and teaching authority, which is vested in the office of elder/overseer/pastor. Three New Testament terms used overlappingly and interchangeably in the Bible for the same leadership and teaching role. The Bible is more than adequately clear on these matters. Church history across 2,000 years and across denominational lines has overwhelmingly concurred on this. It's not hard to see this in God's word. In fact, it's nearly impossible to read the Bible and not see that God has a gender-specific design for marital and church leadership. I say this as somebody who grew up in a non-Christian family in liberal New England, and I was surprised when I began reading the Bible for myself to see all that it has to say about God's design for men and women. In our day, in a culture that is tragically confused about all things related to gender and sex and sexuality, the church's faithfulness to God's word on such matters and the church's witness to God's good design for gender is needed now more than ever. If we won't stand firm on God's word on this point, we are failing for such a time as this. Unfortunately, the Christian Missionary Alliance denomination has chosen not to maintain biblical teaching in regard to church leadership. The CNMA has decided that women pastors and women reverends are just fine, despite God's word, which says, 1 Timothy 2:12, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. It takes some serious interpretive gymnastics and lack of submission to the authority of God's word to take I do not permit and make it mean I do permit. The denomination didn't even get to this point by a careful study of God's word. National level denominational leadership explicitly, repeatedly rejected calls to study God's word on the issue and to land where God's word lands. Our denomination absolutely refused to make this decision with our finger on the text of God's word. Twice before, once in the 1970s and once in the 1990s, there was a push for women pastors, but in both instances, the denomination commissioned a study of God's word on the issue. And that commission reported back that God's word did not countenance women pastors. This time, there would be no such committee or report or examination of the scripture. Instead, the national office insisted during a four-year-long advocacy campaign that Christians disagree on the issue and that we're not going to agree about what God's word says, so we shouldn't even try to come together in agreement as a denomination on what God's word says on this issue? No. No. That is not okay. Our denominational statement of faith rightly says, the Old and New Testaments, inerrant as originally given, were verbally inspired by God and are a complete revelation of His will for our salvation. And catch this, they constitute the divine and only rule of Christian faith and practice. That means that God said exactly what He wanted to say through the men who wrote the scriptures. That means that the Bible contains everything that we need to know to be saved, to get right with God. And it means that the Bible, and only the Bible, is the standard for what we believe as Christians and how we live as Christians. Arguably, that's the most important statement in our entire statement of faith, because everything else flows from that belief. Everything else in our statement is a summary of what the Scripture teaches about Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit and salvation and the church and eternity and so on. We cannot ignore the parts of the Bible that run counter to our culture or counter to our assumptions or upbringing. We dare not reshape God's word to fit us. We must instead let God's word reshape us. God's word, as the divine and only rule of Christian faith and practice, is still our denominational stance on paper, but no longer in practice. The denomination's new standard is that if enough people don't like what the Bible says about something, that issue becomes an agree to disagree issue. The denomination's new stance is that if enough people don't like the traditional, historical, global, clear reading of Scripture, then the issue gets recategorized as agree to disagree, and we can live like the Israelites during the time of the judges when they continually turned against God and, quote, each man did what was right in his own eyes. Alternatively, at times, national office leaders have argued that the New Testament Bible passages addressing gender roles are too hard to understand and too hard to reconcile with one another, so we really can't know with certainty what they mean, at least not with enough confidence to take a firm stance on these issues. But I tell you, it's not true. Now, there are some details in some of those passages that can be hard to wrap your mind around and can be hard to have complete unanimity on them. But the thrust of those passages and the main points are clear as day. God's word is authoritative and it is clear. I don't want to be part of a denominational team that on paper or in practice denies either of those realities. Spiritual leaders who push the scripture to the side when it gets in the way of their preferences are not the kind of leaders to whom I can continue to submit in good conscience. Those are not the kind of spiritual leaders that we should, as a congregation, embrace as authorities over us. We should not be okay with that kind of perspective among leaders in our own church, and certainly not at a denominational level either. Those are not the kind of missionaries that I want to fund and send in our name to represent Christ to the world, to make disciples and plant churches abroad. My heart breaks at the thought of people in the Middle East and Asia and Africa being taught that culture overrides the Word of God. To be sure, there are many faithful brothers and sisters in CNMA churches across the nation. There are genuine believers who get this issue wrong. But there's a world of difference between Christians in churches having wrong theology and pastors, missionaries, church planners, and denominational leadership leading churches and people contrary to the explicit word of God. There's a difference between maintaining relationship with Christians with whom we disagree on one hand, and on the other hand, institutionalizing standards that contradict God's word, mobilizing missionaries who will function and in effect teach others to function contrary to God's word, who will multiply disciples who will be trained to ignore the parts of God's word that are culturally problematic. There's a big difference there. Can we stay in the CNMA? Can we make changes to how we as a church relate to the denomination and make it work to stay? The elders don't think that's the best path forward. The elders agree that the issue of women pastors is not a heresy-level doctrinal issue. The elders agree that there are genuine Christians who get this issue wrong. But the elders also agree that God's word is more than clear enough to require that we take a non-negotiating, unwavering stance in these matters. And the elders agree that the main issue is not women pastors per se, but the authority and knowability of God's word. In an effort to maintain unity within the denomination, the changes enacted by the CNMA about 15 months ago do not require any changes at the local church level. We are welcome to continue to believe and practice as we always have here at Faith Chapel. But that's only at the local church level. Going forward, the denomination is putting women in authority over pastors at various district level and national level positions. The denomination is teaching that women pastors are totally fine with God. The denomination is teaching young men and young women at our denominational colleges and at the triannual youth conference, the Life Conference, that women pastors are pleasing to God. The denomination is sending missionaries to teach others these same things. A denomination serves two primary purposes. Number one, to serve local churches. Number two, to facilitate cooperation for Great Commission fulfillment. With these changes, the CNMA ceases to fulfill either of these functions for us as a church. We can't send students to Life Conference anymore because we know they won't be taught things that are faithful to God's word on these matters. We won't be using denominational training resources or encouraging people to participate in CNMA special events because the denomination at the national level cannot be trusted to be faithful to Scripture. Staying becomes a game of how many changes can we make so that we can stay in the denomination without really being part of the denomination. And we don't believe that's a game worth playing. There are 100 things the elders would have preferred to spend their time on over the past 15 months. 1,000 things. But God's word requires the elders, requires this of the elders. Titus 1:9. An elder must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine, and also to rebuke those who contradict it. The CNMA has turned away from sound doctrine. And the pastoral leadership team here at Faith Chapel, myself and the rest of the elders, has the duty before God and the duty and responsibility to you to hold firm in biblical teaching, to give instruction in biblical teaching, and to contradict unbiblical teaching. It's time to leave the Christian Missionary Alliance, not because we've changed, but because they've changed. It's time to leave the CNMA because in reality, the CNMA has left us by putting God's word to the side. Now, leaving the CNMA will be inconvenient. There are lots of things to figure out, lots of unknown details. The elders know this. We're called to be faithful. We are called to believe the full counsel of God's word. We are called to live by faith and not by fear. And we are to keep and that keeping and submitting to God's word is always the right choice. The best future for Faith Chapel isn't a future chosen in fear of losing our building or property or bank accounts if the denomination chooses to use the reversionary clause in our Constitution. We must not value money over faithfulness to God's word. I believe that God has been working in my heart to call me to walk by faith and to lead by faith without knowing all the details about what lies ahead. There's a temptation in my heart and mind to say, let's find out how this is going to play out before we commit to one path or another. But I don't believe that God is calling us to follow when we have all the answers. He's calling us to follow, trusting him. I'm in. I'm following Jesus. I'm trusting that God is guiding and that he will be in the business of providing. And I'm calling you this morning to walk by faith, to walk by faith through this situation. I'm calling you to seek God's leading and to walk in that direction, trusting God without having all the answers ahead of time. The best future for Faith Chapel isn't one of compromising on the authority or knowability of God's word. I can't tell you how many times in the Bible that God's people go astray because they become unfaithful to God and because they marginalize or ignore what God has said. I can't tell you how many times in Scripture that God's people go astray and become unfaithful to God because they begin to repeat Satan's question in the garden, "Did God really say?" I can't tell you how many times in the Bible that God's word, that God's people go astray and become unfaithful to God because they care more about what people think than about what God thinks according to his word. I'm going to ask Tim and Nick to come forward. They're going to share a few things with us. But I want to leave you with this thought as they come up. I never imagined that I'd leave this Christian Missionary Alliance. I have loved being part of the CNMA over the last 25 plus years. But the CNMA has changed in ways that churches and denominations must not change. And so I say to you again, it is time for us to leave the Christian and Missionary Alliance denomination. Tim?
Those of you that know me know that levity is who I am, and unfortunately this is probably not one of those times, which makes it difficult for me, because life is a challenge, and we as the elders wrestled with that challenge over and over with regard to the path that we would want to shepherd this congregation. But it always came back to, you know, what does God's word say? I don't claim to be a wise man. I've gained a ton of wisdom from being with Dylan and Nick and Nick and Brian. These are very wise men, and they don't go into things lightly. So my encouragement to you this morning, and I wrote some things down which I'm going to read, because otherwise if I try to go off the cuff I might miss something. But my encouragement to you this morning is to stay unified as a congregation, to really look at this situation with the Holy Spirit guiding you. And so Christian unity, as defined in the Bible, is a state of oneness, harmony, and love among believers, and I really emphasize love among believers in Jesus Christ. It's not mere unformality, but a deep spiritual connection that reflects the relationship between God the Father, Jesus Christ, and God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. We share that unity right now, and we would ask that you prayerfully hold your finger on the text of God's word and move forward, understanding and respecting each other's differences. So again, I would want to encourage you to prayerfully seek God in this situation and to love one another, because that's the second commandment that God had, or Jesus had talked about. So love God the Father with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So let's keep that in mind in unity.
Well, I'm going to add some more details, but I also want to emphasize that although you've just heard a lot from Dylan, that we stand together as the elders on making this recommendation to you. It's difficult, but we're together on it. He was not alone in reaching the conclusions that he described, and we also agree together as all of the elders that this is an important enough of an issue that it warrants a strong response. It has taken quite some time for the elders to reach these conclusions and put this recommendation together for all the reasons that Dylan just described. So we certainly understand that you may also need some time to process through and consider what we're now recommending. So over the next few days, the elders are asking that each of you and members in particular give this additional consideration. Talk with your spouse, pray over this, as I'm sure you already have been. And pray over our decision as a church. So what does that decision look like? And why are we as the elders talking in terms of a recommendation? I want to unfold that a little bit. Leaving the Christian and Missionary Alliance, as we are recommending, is not a decision for the elders to make. We're making a recommendation to you this morning, but it's something that has to be determined by the membership of Faith Chapel. Leaving the denomination requires at least two-thirds of the membership choosing to do that, and that can only happen by a vote at a properly noticed meeting of the membership, and that will come at a future time. But even before that, the elders plan to reach out to all the members of Faith Chapel. We want to hear from you. So after you've had a chance to process things, the elders will be giving each of the members a call. And we'll start that process about a week from now. I want to also share the heart behind this outreach to the membership of the church. So the heart behind that we've discussed as the elders in talking with each of you is to be honoring towards each other as a church family, but also to be honoring to the Alliance, the Christian and Missionary Alliance, even as we part ways. Our heart in this is not to try to garner the popular vote or do what the majority we want. We intentionally wanted to make our recommendation before polling the congregation in this way so that we're doing our jobs as elders properly. We are unanimously, as the elders, recommending what we think is the best path forward in response to these changes made by the denomination. And if God is in this, he will make it happen. So we are reaching out. The heart behind it is to get a sense of where everyone is at, to answer any questions you may have at this point. If anyone is still processing or uncertain, that's okay. We understand that. And as we reach out over the phone or in person to talk with everyone, we won't be asking you to commit to anything prior to that actual vote that I just described, and that vote will be between you and God. But we also want to hear from you what remaining questions you have, what your concerns are. The door is still open for discussion, and we understand how difficult this is. Some of you may be struggling or wrestling with what you've just heard this morning. Come talk with us, please. When once we have a sense of where the congregation is at, we plan to share that with the district that oversees Faith Chapel. We want to be honoring towards the Christian and Missionary Alliance denomination throughout this process by sharing transparently what our intentions are. This is not an angry departure. There is sadness you're hearing this morning, but this is not an angry departure. We believe it is time to take a stand, but not in a way that's dishonoring in any way. If the congregation is with us, if the membership is with us in this, we need to begin conversations with the district about what this process looks like. And lastly, if anyone wants to talk to us, you don't have to wait for a phone call from one of the elders. If you have something on your mind that you want to share or ask right away, feel free to grab one of us at any point. You can certainly do that as well. So, Dylan, would you close us with prayer and any final
the elders, Brian, Tim, Nick, and myself will be available after church today. Obviously, as mentioned, Nick Doklas is out of town this weekend, but we'll be available after church. So if you even have some questions or thoughts that you want to share today, we're around for that. With that said, let's pray. God, you promised to build your church. Jesus said that he would build the church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. We offer ourselves up to you and say, have your way in us and through us. Help us at every stage of this to be faithful to you, to live in a way that is appropriate, honoring to Christ, loving to our neighbor, to those around us. I pray that we would be able to strike that balance of standing firm on your word, contradicting, wrong handling of your word, but loving all, even as Christ loved all people. I pray for unity in this body, that while some may not prefer this route forward and some may prefer it, that wouldn't be a barrier to fellowship in this body of Christ, that who we have been in the past is who we continue to be now and who we intend by God's grace to continue to be going forward. And so help us to not let this make us vulnerable to any sort of division or conflict or animosity. I pray that every believer in this church would love every other believer in this church well as we go through this and beyond it. We pray these things in Jesus' name.